chapter 2. So if anybody is really deductive, they'll know that this week we're going to start on Philippians chapter 3. Because 3 comes after 2, right? And I'm excited about this. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I have a lot of favorites in the whole Bible, but this one particularly I like, and we'll get into the reason why in a few minutes. But let's start in verse 1. It says this, finally, my brethren. He would have said sister in two, but that sounds a little funny. Right, so finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. At the end of the day, rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through, rejoice in the Lord. And Thessalonians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on. This book is all about joy, but rejoice in the Lord. Again, my brethren, finally, I tell you, rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice in God. I don't care what's going on in your life, what's going on. You can rejoice in Him. Come on, everybody say rejoice. Come on, what does that mean? That means bring joy to the surface. Right? Rejoice means that you have to do something about it. It's not about how you feel. It's about who you are. I'm going to rejoice, maybe not in my circumstances, but I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to bubble that joy up whether I feel like it or not. I'm just going to keep worshiping God and talking about God and thinking about how good He's, you know, the good that He's done for me. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Glory to God. And look at what he says. He goes on to say, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. What's he saying? Where the Word of God and the Gospel is concerned, it's not boring to hear it over and over and over and over and over. And why is that? Well, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I like the way that Paul wrote that. He said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Or you could say it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And let me just say this and make this statement. You know the voice that you believe more than any other voice? Yours. Yours. So we can hear it in our inside when we read the Word of God, but when we speak the Word of God, we're hearing it not only internally, but we're hearing it externally too. So it's important to speak the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When's the last time that you heard yourself speaking the Word of God? Quoting verses. You know, getting the promises of God and putting them. When's the last time that you physically heard yourself saying them? Well, tonight we're going to practice that, because I think we all need to be saying the Word, speaking the Word. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just say that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come on. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. Come on. He's a strong tower for me. He's the one that hides in me. Come on. Glory to God. He's my refuge and my strength. Glory to God. Come on, let's go on here. He says, for verse 2. I love this. Now listen to this. Listen to it say, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of mutilation. Isn't that a strange verse? Paul said, now rejoice in the Lord. Come on, everybody rejoice. Now beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers and mutilation. And he's going to go on to explain that. When you just first read it, I go, whoa, back off a little bit, Paul. You're getting a little bit too into this, right? But no, he's saying, look, there are some people who have come to steal the simplicity of the gospel and make it more complicated than it needs to be, and these people are doing you no harm. They're attacking you, and they're bad for you, and it's something that you must avoid at all costs. What do you do if a snarling dog is coming up to you and you don't have, run, come on, run, you get away from it, right? If you don't have pepper spray or, we won't go down that road, but you know, you're going to run from it. So he's emphasizing something here that's very important to all of us. And he's making a very emphatic statement of the importance of what he's about to say. So the next verse says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." He's saying, what he's doing, he's referring back to that verse with the dogs in it, and he's saying, but we're not the ones that have been mutilated, we're not the ones that are back in the flesh, but we're in the spirit, right? We've been circumcised in our heart, and circumcision is just the cutting away as a sign of who you belong to. It says, again, who worship God in spirit and rejoice again. There's that rejoice again in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let's just rejoice in Christ Jesus for just a minute. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Jesus paid for my sins. Glory to God, I'm no longer on my way to hell. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. He's made me free. Come on, I'm in Christ Jesus, so that makes me glad. Come on. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Come on. You know, we've got to remember who we belong to. We can get wrapped up into everything else that's going on, but we've got to remember Jesus and get our gladness from what He's already done for us. And His gladness will erase our sadness. Glory to God. But looking at verse 4, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh. In other words, he says, you think you're something by what you've done and where you've been and your pedigrees and your degrees and your... He said, listen, you've got nothing on me. And then he's going to go on and describe who he is and where he came from. But the parallel and then the conflicting things that he's going on here is he's saying, look, nobody can have confidence in the flesh because, as the Bible says, there's none good, no, not one, right? No one. Look at this. He said, verse 5, it says, circumcised on the eighth day. That meant, according to the law, he was, right from a baby, he was doing things correctly. He was, you know... His parents and his family, and he's of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, I'm a Jew, and I can take my lineage back to Benjamin. I want to tell you, I am in. If anybody is in, I am in. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Let's go on again and look a little more. He says, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. And what was the Pharisee? The Pharisee was somebody who was well versed in the law, and they held strictly to the law. In other words, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it exactly right. And they're the ones that went around to Jesus and said, "Wow, what are you doing that, healing that person on the Sabbath? Who are you?" You know, because they were catching people violating the law. And Paul said, "That was me. I had it all down. And boy, if you got out of line, I was right there to let you know about it. I was a Pharisee." And to be called a Pharisee meant that you had been indoctrinated in school. And these people were in school from the time they were really young, even into their 20s and 30s. They were still studying in school, not to study arithmetic, not to study English, but they studied Hebrew and they studied the Scripture. Come on. And so he had been in that. If anybody in the world could brag on their education or their family tree or anything like that, Paul's saying, I could do it. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is by the law, blameless. That's quite a statement. He said, as far as doing the religious thing, I was doing it as well as anybody. Come on, I was on it. And in fact, I was so for it, and I was such a good Pharisee. Those that were following Jesus, I was after them. And if you read in Acts and other places, it describes how that he was out there. He was putting them in jail, having them beaten, and even responsible for seeing some of them killed. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was holding the coats as everybody was throwing the stones. This was Paul. And again, he's saying, in my flesh, in the things of my past, as far as my religious duty, I could brag on everything. And he said, let's go on, because these verses are just so cool. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, for these I've counted loss for Christ. And really what he's saying is, my ability to be right and do right, I counted as loss for the reality of what it means to be in Christ Jesus, or to have faith in the finished work of Jesus. In other words, me trying to do it and Jesus actually doing it, and my faith is in Him doing it. Glory to God. We're going to talk about faith, because faith is very important in these next few verses, and we'll get into that just a little bit more. But the Bible says, as far as God is concerned, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, because you must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But by faith, what is faith? Well, in its simplest form, faith is merely agreeing with what God said and saying that's the truth. It's believing God. It's saying God's word is truth. Right? But then as you grow in that, you begin to understand that whether I feel it, whether I see it, whether I sense it, whether it makes sense to my head, if God said it, that settles it. I'm believing God's word over everything else. He said, but I count all these things that were gained to me as loss for Christ. Indeed, this next verse is even a little bit more emphatic. It says, yet indeed I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may win Christ. What he's saying is, it costs me a lot to trust in Jesus. And he was a Pharisee. He was a big deal in the religious order of the people of Israel. He was a big deal. He was a rising star, if you would say. But when he came to Jesus, when Jesus knocked him off the donkey and fell to the ground and all that, and he came to Jesus, he left all of that behind. Because he went from the one hunting to the one being hunted. Because he changed camps. He changed camps from those that were trying to do it in the flesh to now doing it by the Spirit and by faith. And so he's saying, look at, I believe, and this some of the commentaries and scholar, I believe in order to be a Pharisee, he had to be married. And I believe at this point, his wife didn't go along with that program of him getting saved. And she said, I don't think so. And his parents probably said, listen, you're dead to us because you believe. In other words, if you were really all in, then you lost your family, you lost your friends, you lost your income, you lost everything. So Paul said, I lost everything, but I count that as dung. That's rubbish compared to what? I count the loss of all things for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And we're going to see here in a minute the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at it this way. What he's saying, for me to know Jesus and for me to know what Jesus accomplished, for me to know Jesus personally as my Messiah, that's the top of the rung. And for us, it's really the same thing. So good. All right. Go down to verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you all know this verse, but he who knew no sin became sin, in other translations, became our sin offering, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what this means is, the minute that he took my sin, and I believe that he is now my Messiah, and I stepped into the covenant because of my faith, then I became his righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not by my actions and not by me being good enough, but because he was good enough and counted worthy to take my place. And so therefore now I'm walking in righteousness. And he's saying, look, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith, everything that we do as believers started with when we first believed in Jesus, when we became born again. At some point in our lives when we said, Jesus, I need you to be Lord of my life. And I can't speak for everybody because everybody was different. But when I did that, it changed me completely. I was different from the inside out. Some of the things that I wanted to did before, I didn't want to do anymore. And some people say, well, you get saved and you got to, you know, get rid of some of your friends. I really never got rid of any of my friends. But we just didn't hang out as much because we didn't have the same things in common. Right? They didn't want to hear me preach, and I didn't want to do some of the things that they were doing, which I used to do. But watch this. It's so incredible, and I think it's important that we understand that we don't look back at some of the things that we used to do and let the enemy lie to us. And, well, you know, that was fun, right? That lifestyle was fun. You had a good time. Do you remember, you know, that party that you went to or that vacation that you went to? And the reality is that lifestyle led you to a place where you knew your desperate need for something different. And if you went back to it, you'd end up in the same place, right? So we have to put that aside and lay that aside and say, Lord, I'm just so grateful for what Jesus did for me. And Father, I believe the same way that I got saved, Lord, that I believed in my heart and I said with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And that caused me to be saved. Come on. Come on. And the same thing is true for us today. We have to keep saying it. We believe it. We have to keep saying it. We have to keep confessing it one to another. We have to, if we want the joy of the Lord, we have to begin to not be ashamed of the fact that we're Christians, but begin to, out of a natural place, just share of what Jesus has done for me. You know, I'm looking in the room tonight, and I could go around. I remember when that prayer was answered. 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 And it's all because of what Jesus did for us, right? Hallelujah! I'm saved. You might not understand it, but I'm saved. I'm set free. And the word saved, it means that I'm delivered. I'm healed. Come on. My past has been taken away. I'm no longer under condemnation, right? Come on. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ Jesus? The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you feel condemned? It's not yours. So quit owning it and start speaking. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And by that, I'm not mitigating any of the damage that I might have caused by a sin that I committed. But what I'm saying is, as far as God is concerned, He's not holding that against me any longer. Glory to God. And so I'm not going to let the devil beat me up with something that God has erased from my list, if you will. Look at it again. He said, and be found in Him, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Now look at this next verse. This next verse was really important to me. Verse 10, it says that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Paul wrote this particular epistle, and we've talked about that, while he was in prison. So he'd walked with God for a long time, and he'd written, to this point, almost at least half of the New Testament, and more likely two-thirds of the New Testament. So if anybody knew Christ, it was him. But he said that I might know Him. That's an interesting statement. He had the revelation that God gave him about everything that Jesus did, but he said that I might know Him. He said that I already know Him, that I may know Him. But watch this. Why did he say that? Because there's more to know. There's more to know. It's like when you get a picture of who He is and you get into the Word and you find something else, He did that too? And He's that for me too? Right? Even if you know that Jesus loves you, there's more to that love than you know. So what Paul is saying here, everything that I know is so exciting because there's more to know. There's more to know. But again, how do you know? And how do you get to the place where you know? How many know Jesus as well as you ever want to? I'll be honest with you. There's some days where, Lord, I'm not sure I know You at all. You know, but the reality is that's a lie. Because I know Him. But there's more to know. Well, how do I get to know Him? Well, how do you get anything from God? By faith. By faith. In other words, I have to believe the Scriptures that say, if I seek Him, I'll find Him. I have to believe the Scripture that said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. So instead of going, oh, I never hear from God, I don't know what's going on, blah, 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 we have to begin to declare, I know the voice of God, because He's my shepherd, and I know His voice. And I'm going to rejoice in the fact that I need an answer, but I'm seeking Him. So the answer is on the way. In fact, I have it. So I can rejoice in the fact that God always leads me and guides me. Right? But you have to begin to declare it out of your mouth. You have to say, listen, I am growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, which we've studied before, but in chapter 1, Paul's praying for, and he said, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. See, the knowledge of who God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. The fear is that I reverence Him and I honor Him and I want Him to be in my life, right? But I need to believe that when I seek Him, I'm going to find Him. I have to believe that when I open the Bible, God's going to speak to my heart. That He's going to teach me something about Himself. I have to start acting and believing whether I feel it, whether I sense it, or whether I don't. Now, how many honest people do I have in the room tonight? How many have read the Bible wanting to be really inspired, and you get through it and it feels dry? Yeah, come on, it's like, I didn't get nothing. I mean, God, everybody talks about that. Oh, I got this revelation.
and I don't get anything. I mean, it's just, it's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with you, but you have to begin to believe that every time you open it, you're getting something. So you have to act like you are getting something, whether you feel like you got something or not. I fed my spirit. Again, reading the Word, meditating on the Word is feeding your spirit, man. It's building faith up on the inside of you. And so whether you feel it, whether you sense it, or whether you don't ever say, I can't understand this. This is too deep for me. No, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. So you have to just believe, Holy Spirit, I'm reading the Bible and you're my teacher, and I believe that you're going to give me revelation into the knowledge of you. Come on. Hallelujah. Just say this after me. I know God. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is making known to me more about God day by day, minute by minute, second by second. I'm growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Isn't that awesome? It's true. He said that I might know Him. I want to know Him. There was a song years ago, and I don't remember the title or the artist or even the words, to be honest with you. Like, I couldn't sing the lyrics to you, but there was one line in it that said, "When I want to be so close to Him that when I die, it's no big deal." In other words, I'm walking with Him here, I die, and I just keep on walking because I'm so close to Him. I mean, what a goal that is. But I believe that can be our reality if we'll begin to believe that we can know Him. And that God wants us to know Him. And He does. Glory to God. That I might know Him. And that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. What does that mean? That means that there was an awful lot of things happened when He was raised from the dead. See, the Bible says in order to get saved that you got to believe in your heart that Jesus died, but that He was also risen. Why do you have to believe that He was risen? Because the risen part was the validation that and the outward sign that the sacrifice had been accepted and the covenant was ratified. Right? So I want to know not only about Jesus and about what He did while He was here, but I want to know what was purchased in the resurrection. Come on. My righteousness was purchased on the cross, but it was validated in the resurrection. Glory to God. This is a silly example, but it's the only one I got right now. So, have you ever been to a parking garage, like you go to the doctor's, a hospital or whatever, and you got the parking ticket, and you got to go up to the nurse's station, and could you please validate this? But once that's validated, you don't have to pay for parking because you have the validation. The resurrection is our validation that my sins are paid for. Glory to God. Glory to God. The resurrection is what puts the punctuation mark on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He did what He said He would do. He accomplished what He said He was going to accomplish. And it belongs to me now. Why? Because I did anything. The only thing that I did is said, that looks like a good deal. I'm going to get in on that. I'm going to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. It's not just my sins have been validated. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, He says, Christ has made unto us wisdom, sanctification, and redemption, that I might know what is the power of His resurrection. I am redeemed. I have the wisdom of God. I have the redemptive work of Jesus working on the inside of me. I have wisdom and redemption and sanctification. In other words,
I've been sanctified or set apart. As far as God is concerned, I'm already a citizen of heaven. And when I give this earth suit up, I'll just take my position up there that I already have. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty good deal, right? But I need to know what is the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is the fact that it's validated the fact that old sinners who are away from God can now be reconciled to Him. And it's not done because they have their flesh cut. It's not done because they keep a certain set of rules. It's done because they believe that Jesus paid the price for their sins and they're walking in the newness of that. Glory to God. I'm a believer. Let me say that again. I'm a believer. I believe God. I believe. Now watch this. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Now, some people say, well, I don't want to suffer like He suffered. I don't believe we necessarily have to, but if we'd have to, He'd give us the grace to do it. There's Christians all over the world today that are suffering because they're not denying Jesus, right? But what He's saying here is, watch this. I want to have the fellowship of the suffering. What does that mean? There's a couple of different things, but the one I want to emphasize tonight is I want to have the fellowship or be a partaker of what that suffering produced. Scripture's like, by His stripes I am healed. I want to have fellowship with, by His stripes I have been healed. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon Him. I want to have fellowship with the peace of God. In other words, I want to live with that. I want to live in that because of what He did for me. Come on. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrections. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. There's two things there. First thing is that I am in Christ, right? I am in Christ. Glory to God. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, when I gave my life to Jesus, I died. The old man has gone away, and I don't want to live for him anymore. I want to be conformed to that death. I want to leave the old man dead. Let me say that again. I want to leave the old man dead so that the new man can have preeminence. But also, if I'm conformed to his death, that means that when he took my sins, I changed into the form that he is, and now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to live my life like him, doing the will of God no matter what the cost, but I also want to be a partaker of the knowledge of the fact that when he died for me. And I want to be conformed to that. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to be like Jesus. Who in the room wants to be like Jesus? Right? Well, we have to consider ourselves, and Paul said, the King James says, reckon ourselves as dead. And Renita can give you a better definition of I reckon than I can, because she grew up saying it. I reckon, but what that, I reckon myself dead. That means I am no longer ruled by my feelings or what I want or my desires, because I want my will to be His will, and I want to be conformed to the image of His will. I want to be conformed to His death. I like that. Look at this. It says, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, all of us are going to die, right? There's nobody in the room that doesn't have a date that they'll die. We're all going to die. Everybody except Jesus And he even died, but he was risen. But because we're in Christ Jesus, our physical death is not the end, it's just the beginning. In fact, everybody who's walking on the face of this earth, your death is not the end of things. It's just a step into eternity where you're going to be forever and ever. Those that are in Christ will be with God forever and ever and ever. Those who are not in Christ, who haven't made Jesus the Lord of their life, will be eternally away from God, departed from God. And that place is called hell, and it's real. That's a place of torment, and it's called a lake of fire where your thirst will never be quenched. It's a place of suffering, of torment. Here's the good news. You don't have to go there because Jesus took the penalty for that so that you don't have to take it. But it's really, again, it's all of our choices. Are we going to choose Jesus or not choose Jesus? I choose Jesus, right? I think it's a whole much bigger and better deal. Glory to God. Look at, not by any means I have attained to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on. In other words, I'm living this life out and I've suffered for Jesus. I preached the gospel all over the known world at that point. I've got many churches started and I'm an apostle and I've got all these credentials that I grew up. In the flesh, if I was to brag on that, I'm a big deal. But none of that really matters. And I'm not living my life today like I've already attained anything, because I'm living my life for Him in pursuit of more of Him. Right? Not that I've attained. Not that I've arrived. Nobody's arrived, but watch this. I think many more of us are like, I don't feel like I even got out of the starting gate. Right? In fact, some of us feel like maybe I even regressed. But that's a lie too. That's a lie too. How close is God to you? How close is God to you? Where does the Holy Spirit live? The problem that we have is our head. But the answer is only 18 inches away. Right? I got to get closer to the Father. And I understand. But the reality is, how much closer can you get? I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Jesus said, listen, when I go away and whatever, the Holy Spirit is going to come and abide on the inside of you. Another place He said, my Father and I will come and be with you. He's right here. How do you attain that? How do you get that? You start saying that. You start believing that. You start saying that. I have the Father right now. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I don't have to get closer, but I need to press in Oh, that was great. I should have turned this off. Listen, I have to press in. In other words, I need to on purpose be pursuing my faith rather than on purpose living my life out of doubt. I believe. I'm a believer. I believe God said that I am complete in Him. I believe that He said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that He said that I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I believe that He's always leading me into victory and not defeat, no matter how I feel. And I'm pressing for that rather than living in my lack. Living in how bad, I think that I am, or how terrible my situation is, or how... Here's the cool thing. It's not your lack that's the issue. It's what He produced that's the issue. He's made me worthy. How can I come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of trouble? It's only because of the blood of the sacrificed lamb. And He said in Hebrews, therefore, because of what Jesus did, come boldly. Tonight, all we have to do is say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm coming before your throne room. Whether we feel it, whether we sense it, or whatever, we're there right now. Right now. And so when he said, not that I've already attained or I've already perfected, but I press on. And that word pressing is I'm pushing. I'm driving myself. I'm on purpose. I'm getting up in the morning on purpose to do something. So we ought to get up in the morning not rather than go, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Oh, I hope today's better than yesterday. Right? Oh, my God. I'm so old, my body hurts. You know, all of the things that we can do, we ought to get up. No. Today's a pressing day. I'm going to press on. I got a purpose today. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to believe that He's going to speak to me. I believe that I'm going to know Him better and better and better and better. I believe He's going to touch me. He's going to love on me. I believe that God is just going to shine through me today by faith in Jesus' name. Again, go to Mark 11, and I didn't write this down, but I want you to see this because it's so important that we get a hold of this. Verse 22, it says, have faith in God. And that's what we've been talking about. That's what Paul was talking about, that I might know Him. But knowing Him is by faith and by believing what He said and what He did. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What does that look like? Lord, I need wisdom. I'm asking you for wisdom on what to do in this relationship. But Father, I'm just going to begin to rejoice because when I've asked you, I'm receiving it right now in Jesus' name. Right? Lord, you said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I receive that joy right now. Right now. Right now, I have that joy right now. You might feel as bad as you did 5 minutes ago, but by faith, you're just going to begin to walk out and act like that joy is yours and it's going to become springing up in Jesus' name. And I believe that it might be on the inside. It might be like that an old oil well that's deep down in there, and you have to drill and drill and drill. But pretty soon, if you'll stay with it and you'll go just another little bit, just keep going a little bit more, pretty soon there's going to be a gusher. The ground's going to rumble, and out of your belly is going to come that living water that's going to come up and go out. Come on, glory to God, because He's with you. But we got to press on. We got to continue. We got to stay in the fight. Stay in the hunt. Don't give up. Don't quit. Come on. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that. This is so cool. Which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. In other words, I want to squeeze every bit of juice out of that orange. I've got an orange and I want to get every little bit of it. So I'm going to wring it out. I'm going to crush it. I'm going to press it until I get every drop of it. He's saying, listen, everything that Jesus produced for me, I want to squeeze it. I want to press it. I want to lay hold of it. I want to make sure that I'm having access to it. If God paid it for me, I want to make sure that I'm taking advantage of what He did for me. Come on. I believe we can walk in more of the light than we already have. I believe there's more, and so we have to press on. If Paul had to press on, I got to press on. Hallelujah. Look at this now, verse 13. A big key. Brethren and sistren, I do not count myself as to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. You got to forget yesterday. You got to forget 2 weeks ago. You got to, you know, you might say, well, you know, if I'd only worshiped God more, if I'd only done this 10 years ago, if I would have, forget it. What does forget it mean? Stop thinking about it. Stop saying it. Stop. Stop it. Forget it and go on. Forget it and go on. How many have had bad things happen to you? Should we write a whiteboard up and see who wins the worst? No. No, what we need to do is we need to forget it. I'm not saying it's not real and it doesn't bring up feelings and emotions, but when it comes up, we have to say, Lord, that's under the blood. And I forgive those that did despitefully to me. Father, I'm leaving that whole mess with you, but I'm pressing into you and who you made me to be. Father, my testimony is not about the harm that has happened to me in the past. My testimony is what you're doing in me in the present and my future that's coming forever and ever and ever. Come on. God loves you. He's happy with you. He loves you. Glory to God. Pressing on till I see that day. Pressing on till I hear my Father say, you become all that I want you to be. Glory to God. Come on. Pressing on. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. But I got to get it in my mouth. I've got to get out of my mouth what's the past and put in my mouth what Jesus has accomplished and what's in my future. Did you get something tonight? Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the joy that's on the inside of me. I thank you, Lord, that you love me and that you're for me. You're not against me, God. And I thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit into every heart that's heard this message tonight. And God, we're pressing into you tonight. I ask you to touch everyone that's been watching online or is going to watch online. I ask you to touch them and get them excited about what their future is. And Lord, for everybody that's in this room, your anointing that I'm feeling right now, Lord, let it touch every heart. And Father, forgive us for whining and complaining. But today we choose to rejoice. We just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Everything that God has for you is through the door of Jesus Christ. So if you haven't asked Him into your heart, just get on your knees before Him or just open your heart to Him and say, God, if you'll take me just the way I am and you'll come into my heart, I believe that Jesus died for me. I'll do anything that you want me to. I give you my life. He'll answer that prayer. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.